Captain Henry Evelyn Arthur Platt, continued. On active service. Letter, September 23rd, 1914. This morning, thank gosh, I received your letters, the first since the one you wrote the day we left. It has been damn hard hearing no news. In addition, no papers for so long, that I felt almost panic-stricken. It is splendid that you are feeling so fit. I am really glad that you are a member of the 19th Hussar Association. The best man on it is one Sam Lewis. I was in the regiment with him for about 2.5 years. He left about 1907 on the Curragh. He is married, extraordinarily conscientious and painstaking, very quiet, and a gentleman. As far as I know, the association have all names of 19th Hussar wives on and off strength. In that busy time of mobilization, we asked 4 times for these names. It is stupid of the men not to have come forward. They are queer. I'm so happy you are at the association. Really, there is enormous scope of doing good. Knowing a little of human nature, I expect you may meet with a certain amount of ingratitude and annoyance. But on the whole, it will be splendid work for you. If the wives grouse about discomfort, rub it into them about how downside more uncomfortable their hubs are, though not at the present moment. If you see Mrs. Jordan, tell her hub is looking a picture. Tell Mrs. Faulkner her old man always has a stew and a pot of tea going before anyone else, and has commandeered a German cooking pot. Tell Mrs. Holland her husband is a different man, no more headaches, and his teeth are first rate. All the men now look after themselves all right. The thing is to get them to look after their G's. Bennett has been absolutely useless. I don't think he is quite all there. I have taken a priceless red-head buck called Roberts as groom. He has cleaned all the saddlery, and I hope in 2 or 3 days we'll have the horses pulled together. He is a cheery heart. If you remember, he did the obstacle part of the combined race at Dorney. The old knights went to battle in burnished armour. There's no earthly reason but sloth or drawing a retreat that one should not go to war, at any rate clean. Horses cannot go on forever, and there's plenty of time to brush up now. Do you know, it makes me positively tired to be dirty. When I get the supplies of cleaning stuff, I shall always carry them about, as it is the brainwave of shaving kit in my wallet has twice saved my life when deadbeat. Most servants, as a whole, are rotten, but things improve in this respect. Alphonse's man is priceless. It sounds paltry, all this, I know, but après tout, as I said before, half war is feeling like it. An average man feels like it if he's fed and given enough to drink, but my men, most officers, want just that little amount of polish to give their best. Largely a matter of imagination, but I can assure you that after shaving and brushing my hair, I feel like fighting, and my brain works twice as well than when I have a 2 days' growth and my horse's bit is rusty. An officer has to be thinking, or ought to be thinking, of his men, his horses, their safety and well-being. Give him good groom and clean kit, he'll do it twice as well. How splendid that you're all working so hard, making things. Nurse is a brick. Tell her not to forget all about Jay, but I expect he'll help her too. I expect my first Rouen letter was censored. That's why you didn't get it. Now as to the letter of the 30th, when Dower and Mons were over and the retreat in progress, I went through hell thinking Settle had not got away. I hear he was wonderful, and in his wounded condition prevented many others from falling into German hands. He's a great lad. You'll have had all sorts of stories about the retreat, but if the censor will permit me to say, I think all the world knows that the plan of drawing the Germans on with our little push was excellent. It seems to me that if we could have had a little support on our flanks, we could have fought a good rear action and done the Germans a lot of harm. As it is, I think our infantry were superhumanly marvellous. Of course, the canard of the great man coming over and speaking his mind has reached you, but we know nothing. I wish I'd been in the first 2 days fighting instead of wagons, but après tout, il y a beaucoup de temps. Dear old Ernest, it's just first rate he is with the Coldstream too. How delighted the mother and father would have been that he had his commission again. I cannot tell you how this had pleased me. I kept wishing when we were going out on the boat that he was coming too. A, B and C squadrons are all now in touch with each other, but owing to questions of saving horse flesh, we don't visit each other much. They are now with their divisions originally allotted to them. They tell me Alfred has gone to the 16th Lancers with his Maxim, but I never believe any canard like that till I've actually seen him on parade with them. Alphonse rode over and saw C Squadron yesterday. Also the Colonel, who was on the staff of the new cavalry division, as of course in the papers by now. N. Burrs and the HQ form the nucleus of the staff. Mack is Provost Marshal, Prey Signalling Officer, all in great heart, so A said. As to what we actually see, we send out a post each day to watch the Germans, and they tell us that in some places German and English trenches are within 100 yards of each other. Otherwise we, the squadron, are well behind here, and at present out of the shelling radius. Whether the bulk of these Germans have gone, we don't know, but I expect our staff does, as our air service is, so they say, doing marvels. At any rate, there's a tidy lot of Germans in front of us who are digging themselves and their guns well in, so the cavalry are not much use at present. Our infantry, or part of it, spend the day in trenches and have their supplies and letters brought up to them every 24 hours. I don't give the time away on purpose, but you can imagine it. They tell me when the Germans show themselves, we shoot at them with guns and rifles, and they do the same for us. Young Ballantyne went up to the trenches yesterday, and he told me the infantry are simply marvellous. They absolutely ignore the shelling and treat it as a joke. Certainly there have been very few casualties. One of the infantry officers gave Ballantyne a strange picture of war. He said, "You march hard for 2 or 3 days, suddenly you deploy without any warning, and in a few minutes are in the very middle of a terrific battle, shells bursting in all directions. You fight it out and sleep upon the spot, where you stop fighting. If you're very lucky, supplies may come up during the night. Next morning, you resume the march as if nothing had occurred." I think our infantry are priceless. Letter, October 21st, 1914. Our present job is to keep in touch with the people on our left. This Alphonse does in his own inimitable way. Other tasks roll up in the ordinary course. At present I am behind a haystack, the horses and some trees, and the men of the squadron sitting in the trenches pro temps, acting as a possible support. Probably we shall retire to our nice comfortable beds at dusk. For the last few days, the squadron, with the squadron of the 15th Hussars, has been fighting the retiring Germans in very enclosed country, the French cavalry being on our left. Of course, these latter are good and brave et tout cela, but their comic opera helmets, their jabber, and the way they gad about like dragonflies gives one a feeling of insecurity. At least I personally felt a damned sight safer when they had withdrawn from our lines, which they slightly overlapped. The Germans fought a jolly good rearguard action. They say that the Trois Head Hussars were against us. Now we are in rather more open country and have run up against a strong German position. Whether it is going to be a second aim, I know not, but the general impression prevails that the Germans have a damn sight stronger one behind, with cement beds for guns, etc. Also, they have been railing up reinforcements. The way they found this position in the immediate vicinity is as follows. The French cavalry on our left sent over to say they would attack at 4:45 p.m. of course dismounted. Would we bring our artillery fire to support them? Yes, we would. Also, I believe we volunteered to support this attack with infantry fire. Well, ma chère, we and the French shelled like hell and the French advanced. Our observation posts said the sight of a town shelled by us was awe-inspiring, and the French neatly shelling up each street in turn. However, it did not do much good, as the French advance did not get very far, and our two gallant little companies that advanced through us onto the right of our observation post got it rather in the neck, without, of course, gaining much. Letter, October 23, 1914. Cavalry action. I've seen a paper of the 16th of October and one of the 19th of October, which mentions Alphonse in dispatches. You want me to describe the action we were in? Well, one of de Lille and the 2nd Cavalry Brigade, we were advanced squadron. Then came B. We were on one side of the valley behind a wood. As far as I know, de Lille wanted to push on and get the hill due south, which might or might not be occupied. But yeah, not a second to delay. Off goes David with his troops through the wood, Alphonse pivoting off to the east to X to observe with his trumpeter. David debouches from the wood, only to find a barricade and several bullets ready for him. 5 horses hit, but no men. I send a second troop onto Alphonse, dismounted. He advances down the stream with them, and sends back a message that he wants another troop. Germans fall back from barricade, and Alphonse makes good the bridge. I then bring up reserve troop, Butler's. Hottish rifle fire, meanwhile, apparently coming from hill due south. I go up to Alphonse, who is now south of bridge, leaving reserve troop nicely under cover, where S. Butler gets hit observing, instead of keeping under cover. Our supporting fire is now coming from the west. We are able to mount and go to the hill to the east, where we can bring enfilade fire onto the Germans, who retreat and are jobbed the minute it is done. A devilish lot of noise there seems to be. I had to shoot a horse that had broken its leg in a hole. A bad description, but you will fill in the details. Alphonse is a marvel. During our retreat, we had to turn out of our billets in a hurry, and so had a bit of shrapnel near our tails and over our heads. A squadron rear guard. So Alphonse takes up position on a gravel pit with detachments from other regiments on his right and left. All more difficult job than working with your own push. Troops on his right and left retire. Then I take back our troop to cover his retirement. He waits till the last second, then away with him. Not a man hit. It almost seemed like peace. So right back during that day. There, that's the best I can do at present. Now I must get well posted with all that's going on. At the present, I'm sitting on a chair by the roadside outside our village, in the sun, writing this on a box. Alphonse is with the brigadier nearby. We have patrols out watching the Germans and bringing in information as to the situation of our troops and the French as well. Meanwhile, we are all ready for whatever comes along, including stray Obi, which we carefully dodge. P.S. Write me next time the best information you can get as to what people in the know think of the situation. Don't conceal anything. I would really like to know. My own view is, if we could only get the decisive knock before Christmas, we shall be all right. Letter, 5th of November, 1914. Winston's brother. we have a vague feeling that tout va bien. The Germans in the immediate vicinity did not attack last night. From all accounts, our cavalry, when called upon to go into the trenches, have excelled themselves. No news at present, as a squadron we are very nearly refitted again. Another 48 hours, and we shall probably be in first-rate condition for the pursuit. Just seen Bonham Carter, who lunched with us, and is very fit. Also Winston's brother, who I think commands a squadron of the Oxford Yeo boys out here. P.S. Winston's brother told me that Albert of Belgium is a real hero. He goes himself into the trenches and encourages his men. Perhaps when P.B. Platt brothers get a bit used to it, they'll be turning over a profit by turning out shells, as there will be a lot wanted. Let me know what the plebs think of the lowest of the fair. P.S. Alphonse has eaten several of your bullseyes and looks a great nut in your sleeping cap. 19th Hussars War Diary, A Squadron, August 1914 to April 1915, 5th Divisional Cavalry. 17th of August 1914, 10 p.m. in trained Hounslow, arrived Southampton 4:30 p.m. 18th of August 8 a.m. sailed on SS Clermont. 19th of August 4:45 p.m. disembarked at Rouen. 23rd of August 7:30 a.m. Dower. Reconnoitred line, Tetre Hortag, German advance began. Bivouac for night, Elogue farm. 24th of August, Dower and Elogue, heavy fighting, division retired and billeted at St. Wast. 25th of August, St. Wast received order for squadron to report to Cavalry Division HQ. On the way there, met General Delille. Bivouac night at Le Cateau. Bridge was heavily shelled near Boutin. 26th of August, honour came to Bosigny Maritz. Fighting of sorts all day. Marched all night, except for a couple of hours, when squadron was rested in field. 27th of August, St. Quentin arrived 11 a.m. 28th of August, brigade camped at Bethancourt. 29th of August, fighting all day, bivouac at our camp. 30th of August, marched to Bailey, then to Saint-Léger-au-Bois, camped via Moulin. 31st of August, marched to Compiègne, squadron detached to escort Commander-in-Chief to take him to Gillecourt. Afterwards, rejoined brigade at Chevrier. 1st of September, camped at Mont-Dieu. 2nd of September, camped at Thiers. 3rd of September, marched to Gournay. 4th of September, brigade halted for whole day. 5th of September, marched to Limoges, where Colonel Greenley joined to take over command. 6th of September, Bailly. 7th of September, camped at Ferrovi. 8th of September, marched via La Ferté-Gauchère. Squadron came under heavy fire at Sablonnière, camped at Sarnovi, north of Basseville. 9th of September, whole cavalry division formed up at Aboisson, northwest of La Chapelle, crossed River Marne at Chéry, thence to Corcru, and up to Ferme de Paris, camped at Aulnoy-Bontemps. 10th of September, the two squadrons left 2nd Cavalry Brigade, ordered to move to report the 2nd Corps headquarters, moved to Chézy-en-Auxois, thence to Damard, where camped. 11th of September, ordered to move up to report to Goff's Cavalry Brigade at Parcy-Tigny, marched to Hautaine, moved back to camp at Château La Flessia, very wet day. 12th of September, under orders 13th Infantry Brigade, Cuthbert, advance guard to 5th Division, moved via Chacruis, thence to Chassamy, joined Goff in fighting, camped at Château-Thierry, very wet. 13th of September, moved to St. Jean Farm, later to Pavilion Farm, transport shelled, Battle of Soissons began. 14th of September, small reconnaissance, night at Pavilion Farm. 15th of September, Pavilion Farm, Colonel Greenley left to take a new appointment. 20th of September, squadron moved to billets at Couvrelle, October the 1st, Couvrelle, October the 3rd, Longpont, October the 4th, Morianville, October the 5th, Morcourt in billets. October the 6th, march to Port-Saint-Maxence, 7:30 p.m. Started in training, 10 p.m. October the 7th, detrained at Roux, about 11 a.m. March southeast to Melancourt, arriving there, 8:30 p.m. October the 13th, moved to Foss, Hun, just north of Marais Farm. Continual sniping and shelling. October the 17th, division moved to Aubert with 3rd Division. On arrival there, patrol sent to Herlier, which was held by enemy, billeted at Aubert. October the 19th, about 3 p.m, squadron moved to La Pouique and went on foot to Riez to be in support for the Royal Irish in an attack on Pilly. Services not required. Withdrew at dark to billets in Aubert. October the 21st, observation post north of Riez. Squadron went at L.A. Pluick during day occupying trenches, there in relief of Royal Scots. Billets at Aubert. October the 22nd, Germans heavily attacked Aubert and Fromelles. Division withdrew to Rue Tilleuil during night. Billeted at Rue de Baccarat. Same billet as on 16th October. October the 23rd, squadron remained in billets. October the 24th, stayed in billets. Heavy German attack on outpost line. 7:30 p.m, squadron turned out on foot and stood to till 1 a.m. October the 25th, had orders to march 6:30 a.m. to rejoin 5th Division at Bouvery Station. Reached there 11 a.m. and went at billets near Gore. Bomb from aeroplane landed in billets, killing 8883 Private Kent about 12 noon. October the 27th, Gore, two troops sent out to look for snipers inside the lines. October the 31st, left Gore, 10 a.m, marched to KS. November the 1st, Nervé-Glise. November the 7th, Commander Orders, 3rd Division at Ypres. November the 8th, Ypres. Squadron marched 4 a.m. to Hoog. Horses were left in wood at Hoog Chateau. Dismounted men went into wood, south side of Ypres Menin Road, in support of 15th Infantry Brigade. November the 9th, squadron still in support. Wood was heavily shelled during day. One casualty. Left wood 8 p.m. Reached billets 11 p.m. November the 10th. In billets at Croupendaird. November the 11th. Heavily shelled in woods near Herentau. Chateau north side of Menin Ypres Road. November the 15th. Bitterly cold in snow. November the 20th. In trenches. November 21st, in billets near Poperinghe. The regiment was brought together again in April 1915 and attached to the 1st Cavalry Division, with whom it would serve for the remainder of the war. It saw action at the 2nd Battle of Ypres, gaining battle honours for the Battle of Saint-Julien, 24th of April to 5th of May 1915, where the Germans first used chlorine gas on the Western Front, with devastating effect, as the Allies were completely unprepared, with no gas masks. And the Battle of Fresenburg, 8th to 13th of May, where subsequently Captain Platt was himself gassed.